Audacity. Haiti's political crisis is deepening as Senate terms expire. Expiration of 10 remaining senators' terms leaves the Caribbean nation without any democratically elected institutions. The deepening political crisis in Haiti has come into renewed focus as the country's only remaining senators saw their terms expire overnight, an alarming development in a country beset by surging gang violence and instability. The Senate was Haiti's last democratic elected institution, though its ranks had been reduced to just 10 after the country failed to hold legislative elections in 2019 to fill vacant seats. Those 10 senators represented a country of nearly 12 million people. Let's hear more about this from Al Jazeera.
In Port-au-Prince, they shield their eyes from the beating sun, but it is not the sun that comes for them. Gladys holds up her hands, demonstrating what she had to do to save her life. This is but one corner of the capital, but its crowded yard tells of a nation's turmoil. An outpouring of anger, frustration, fear. Almost half Haiti's population of 11 million people faces acute hunger.
We haven't eaten since yesterday. We have nothing to drink. We are suffering. Even our voice is gone.
Louis's wife and a child killed, others made quiet by their loss. 96,000 people displaced by gangs in the capital alone.
These people have been displaced not once, but twice. First, they fled gang violence in Cité du Soleil, perhaps the most dangerous part of Port-au-Prince. They fled to a square opposite the airport, and then what happened is the authorities chased them out. So they came here to the city authorities, hoping to get something. What they get is a piece of paper.
Some jostle with their papers, angry neither food nor shelter has been forthcoming. Others hand me this single document, which attests that somewhere they did belong before the gang struck.
They started shooting. We had to jump in the ravine. There was a lot of us. We had to run and hide, lay down, and wait for the right time to come out so we could leave.
Then they walked to the capital's Hugo Chavez Square. 3,000 displaced residents from the neighborhood of Cité Soleil, where the United Nations assesses 19,000 people face catastrophic hunger. They camped on the square's concrete.
I don't know when was the last time I had a proper meal, because we've been living at the camp, sleeping on the ground. At night, it's freezing cold. When it rained on us.
That was until authorities surrounded the square with a brand new fence and tossed them out in a matter of hours. I ask where they will sleep tonight.
In the street. We have nowhere to go to sleep.
The local administrator says the numbers seeking aid here have swelled because locals who aren't from Cité Soleil saw an opportunity for a handout. A young man's stare provides evidence of its own in this city where up to 200 gangs are fighting for territory, leaving displaced citizens with nothing more than a scrap of paper to call their own. Prulwan, Al Jazeera, Port-au-Prince.
In Guyana, a drug eradication operation carried out by the Customs Anti-Drug Unit has led to the arrest of two people. The haul also saw a seizure of $37 million worth of marijuana. This report by Guyana News Source.
The two who have been arrested are 43-year-old Sean Thomas, also known as Yankee, of Kitty here in Georgetown, and 41-year-old Beulah London of Eccles on the east bank of Demerara. In a statement, Kanu explained that on Wednesday, it intercepted a car along Mandela Avenue. The driver was the only person in the car at the time, and the search of the car resulted in the discovery of several large parcels of marijuana. Kanu said based on additional investigations, a suspect was escorted to a house at Eccles on the east bank of Demerara. A search of that house was conducted in the presence of the man and the owner of the house. Several additional parcels of marijuana were found concealed in barrels. The two suspects were both taken into custody and booked on drug trafficking charges. Kanu said the total weight of the marijuana amounted to more than 250 pounds.
In Trinidad and Tobago, police have made pronouncement on the high murder rate for 2022, confirming the figure put forward in the end of last year. During a media briefing, more information on these homicides were relayed. Here's CCN TV6.
In 2022, 605 homicides were recorded and have now been confirmed by police. Superintendent in charge of the Homicide Bureau of Investigations, Rishi Singh, has given a breakdown of these crimes.
51 were altercations, 79 revenge, 245 gang-related activity, rape 1, robbery 52, drug 95, domestic intimate 12, domestic non-intimate 13, line of duty 1, relationship motivated 8, unknown 47, mistaken identity listed as 1, and that accounts for the 605.
Singh says police are on top some of these cases.
We have solved 100 reports of murder for 2022, charged 121 persons. 89 persons were charged for 75 homicides for murders, which occurred in 2022 itself.
The other 25 murders solved in 2022 were from previous years.
So that would place your detection rate, if I'm not mistaken, I'm just asking.
Just at about 13%.
How much?
Just at about 13.
13.13?
Yes.
With that percentage of detection rate, do you think that that serves as a deterrent to people really committing homicides?
Well, we are not at all satisfied with the detection rate, if that is your question. But we know that there are challenges that affect the detection rate in a particular year in terms of evidence availability.
In Antigua, Immigration Minister and incumbent ABLP candidate for St. Paul, E.P. Chet Green, says the United Progressive Party's claims that his party copied the immigration policy are bogus. The Gaston Brown administration has eliminated work permit fees for nationals of CARICOM countries and the Dominican Republic, gainfully employing in Antigua and Barbuda. The measure took effect on January the 1st, 2023, but the UPP argue the government adopted its campaign promise. Minister Green has brushed aside suggestions of copying.
How could we piggyback on something that we ourselves would have fashioned? The advent of the coming to Antigua of CARICOM nationals started on Sevilla. I was a boy going to school when St. James' Club was being built, and the shortage of labor is what gave rise to that first wave of CARICOM nationals coming to Antigua.
To Jamaica now, oftentimes overlooked by society, the mental health of police officers has sharply come into focus, particularly given recent cases of suicide within the police force. Here's CVM News.
Oftentimes overlooked by society, the mental health of police officers has sharply come into focus, particularly given recent cases of suicide within the police force. With mental and physical trauma part of police officers' life, high-quality support mechanisms for the Jamaica Constabulary Force must be reinforced. Researcher of Strategic Planning, Social Development and Entrepreneurship at the University of the West Indies Mona, Dr. Kadamawe Naif, outlines work environment, remuneration and officers being transferred as factors of high mental stress. While he acknowledges the JCF's efforts to curtail these challenges, he strongly suggests that more effective measures can be implemented.
You don't put in place a system where it reduces the amount of pressure placed on the officer who's expected of that kind of service. Right. So a high risk, high stress environment for every officer. And you don't need to go through trauma to receive therapy. You should be receiving therapy to prevent the situation from becoming traumatic.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards.